Well, let's kind of jump in this tonight a little bit. We're going to be looking at moving in our groups and creating a culture of movement. And so what does that really mean? It means that we're kind of looking both internally at our own groups, externally towards the church as a whole, and then also outside the walls to just kind of see how are we fostering community in these different spheres and spaces. We're going to kind of look at some opportunities, maybe some opportunities to kind of grow that. But also, I just want to kind of get your minds working tonight as directors about, you know, is our group doing well in all those spaces? Because, you know, it's not just about the people in the room. It's also about the people in the pews, which I have chairs, people in the chairs. We have both. We have pews and chairs, and because we meet in two different rooms. But and then, you know, you have all kinds of places on campus. And then, you know, you had the metro, which is, what, 6-7 million people, I understand. And so there's a lot of opportunities to move and to have a cultural club. So before we jump in that, I want to tell you a little bit about me. So my name's Peter. My wife, Amy, right there to my left. We've been married about 18 years. And then those are our two little kids. That was taken on Easter this past year. We do like a flowering of the cross thing. Do y'all do that here? The flower of the cross. That's like one of those really old Southern Baptist traditions that just never died in Pensacola. And I'm kind of grateful for it. And everybody kind of brings flowers. We have a couple crosses on campus, and everybody kind of puts flowers on the cross. And then we make it into a photo booth because, you know, it's 2025 or 2024. And so anyways, that's our family photo from Easter. My two children, Maggie's the oldest there. I was telling some of y'all that she had her birthday last Tuesday. And if you do your calendaring right, that means she had her 10th birthday on Snowpocalypse, as we call it in Pensacola. And so that 10 inches of snow was just for her on her birthday. And so she had a delightful birthday. Yeah, that's right. Just for her. Just air dropped it in. And then Charlotte is my youngest there. Charlotte would know every one of you and would have a picture of you. She loves taking pictures with her camera, and you would be her best friend. She has never met someone she didn't know. I love that about her. Maggie is very smart and just loves to consume and consume and consume knowledge, but also has a big heart for animals. So that's our little family. And then we have a little schnauzer who's about 13. He's a bad dog, but we love him. His name's Boone. My wife has this like theory that whatever you name pets, they become. So if you name them Rocket, they're going to be full of energy and go everywhere. So we tried out the name Boone, which is French for, anybody know? It's French for good. Apparently our dog doesn't speak French because he didn't know he was supposed to be good. So anyways. Yeah, I know. We should. German words don't flow as well, though. Anyways. That's right. One of many. The one place I didn't go wrong, standing to my right, I guess, up there, though. I love my wife, Amy. Can't wait to see her back. That's the front of our church. We're kind of like you guys. We're a legacy downtown Southern Baptist church. We were formed in the late 1800s by a church planter named Alexander Travis. Does that last name sound familiar? Yes. I mean, William Barrett Travis was Alexander's nephew. And so Alexander came to and lived with his uncle for a couple of years in Evergreen, Alabama, yes. Where, oh, you know, his
sausage is made.
That's right, some really good sausage. And Alexander planted churches around the region and planted First Baptist Pensacola in the late 1800s. And so we've been there for a long time. Our campus slopes down. So this is actually the tallest point in the Pensacola Metro. And so our campus slopes down. So the rest of our campus is actually built into the hill. So a lot of our buildings are underground. My office is underground. And so I have no idea. There's like a little back exit to my office, and sometimes I'll go out of it.
Snowed.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. And so anyway, so I've been there about 4 years. I started out as education and then took the XP position about 2 years ago. Been in ministry since 2001, most of which has been in NextGen and then education and now doing administration. And so tonight, I really want this to be about you guys. So if y'all see something or hear something or something's kind of hitting a pain point for you, or you want to kind of drill down deep on something, that's why these notes don't have blanks. Because if we drill down on something and run out of time, that's good, because it was something you wanted to talk about. And you can take the rest of the notes home and use them as you want. And so we're just going to jump on in and look at this tonight. The first part of this session is cultivating connections to the church itself. So in creating an inclusive environment that fosters unity and belonging. I mean, as people come to church, and it's direct, everybody's a director, right? For the most part in the room. So you're leading teachers, you're leading people, and you've got your... Okay. So everybody's coming to church. They come and they sit in the 3,400-seat sanctuary, and they think, nobody knows my name. I love this place. Greg's great. This is great. But, you know, I'm going to go to the hospital, and nobody's going to know I'm there. How does that work? So they've become part of Joe's class. And now they're part of Joe's class. And they start, you know, maybe they weren't believers. And they do go to the hospital. Joe finds out the team's there. We're coming alongside them. We've created a place where they can be included. They can belong. You know, as directors, you probably keyed on to that a long time ago. Because you probably, as you hear people in the hallways when they say, I just don't feel like this church really comes around people, or I feel like we don't really help people. You know that's not true because you put hours into it, right? And you put time into it. Your class does too. And so when you hear those kind of comments or things, you know what? Those people probably aren't connected into a life Bible study class, right? They're not a part of a group. And if they are a part of a group, shame on us as directors for not leading and helping our people to have that kind of environment that they come into every week, right? Where they feel like they are not just sitting in another space to hear another Bible story, but they're coming into a space where they can be included, they can be alone. But that's something we have to foster, right? It's not just something that happens. You know, I hear that y'all are fostering that through a lot of ways. I think y'all wear name tags at this church when you come into a room. That's huge, right? That's huge. I couldn't imagine sitting in 3,400 people as a new person in this church and then being brave enough. I've already been brave enough to come out of the busy parking lot that I couldn't find a place to park. But now I have come into the building. I've used up all my bravery. And now somehow somebody has talked me into going into your room. And now I see 40 faces looking at me and I don't know any of them. But there's name tags, right? Man. Little things, right? Little intentionalities. How many of y'all stand by your door and welcome people in? Or you have somebody on your team that does that for you? Little things. How many of y'all sit in circles instead of rows doing little things? Do what works for you, your age group, and your stage. But the little things that bring intentionality into the classroom, into the room is just paramount. So how we engage and go through that ensures that people are going to feel value. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want to do. If I kept calling Joe here Jeff because he's covering his name tag, do you think he'd feel valued? Now, I'm just a speaker from Pensacola that's never going to probably see any of y'all again, maybe until heaven. But the truth of the matter is, whether I'm going to be here tomorrow night, if I can just remember his name off that name tag, he's going to feel that I valued enough to pay attention enough to remember that.
Well, thank you, Stephen.
That's right. And so there's small things that give us value and give your visitors and guests value. And anything that's a value add is so good. So let's start off with this idea of hospitality. Opportunities to foster unity and belonging. Hospitality. Assign greeters and follow up with new guests. This is not rocket science. In fact, we've kind of gone back old school to our church. We've started kind of doing visitation again in some ways. You know, we're not going door to door yet like my parents did. I remember going with my parents when I was growing up, and they'd go door to door visiting guests that came to our church that we grew up in. But, you know, my rule of thumb is if they're under 50, I'll text them. If they're over 50, I call, you know. And so just connect in the ways that make sense for your people. But do it immediately, as quickly as you can. Not like after they leave the room, but you know what I mean. By the next day, they ought to have some kind of communication back in. And then do some follow-up. But I'm telling you, there's just some little things that matter. In fact, you know, I would just encourage you guys, if there's opportunities for y'all to write notes again. How many of y'all still write notes? Anybody write notes or cards? I mean, I did years of student ministry. And I think, you know, that was some of the most impactful stuff we did was the out of the ordinary. So like when we did D Now, which is, do y'all do D Now here where you do like a weekend where you invite, what do y'all call it here?
Next weekend.
What is it?
Lift Weekend.
Lift Weekend. So when you do Lift Weekend, I used to send out personalized invitation cards, kind of like Willy Wonka's golden ticket sort of thing, because people 12 to 16, 18, they don't get mail. They don't get mail and thing. That's like, it's like so old. Like, what is that? Like, you might as well like telegraph me something, right? But it's personalized. Like, it's just a personalized way of doing stuff. And it takes time and effort. You know when somebody else has written that card, somebody's assistant wrote that card, thank you for using my law firm, or thank you for coming to my office. You know when the assistant did it and the person did it. Take the time, put in a little effort, hospitality. You know, some of it too is just empowering some of these greeters and people in your hospitality ministry of your class to understand, to say, hey, it's always an extra step or an extra mile. You know, if somebody's really feeling out of sorts, sit with them, go with them. You know, if somebody's going, they've been here a couple of weeks and something's coming up, make sure we're inviting these people to the next things. Y'all got some stories or something y'all want to throw out for hospitality?
Like you said, just following up with people. We had a guy in our class that life just got to him, and he started school, and it just happened to fall on a Sunday, one of his classes. And so just following up and seeing how he's doing and everything, and he said, well, back in this year, January, I can start coming back, and just welcoming him back and saying we're glad you're coming back soon. He was just excited that we even cared more.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Here's one of the things for hospitality as well. I know Revolution Within, Stan and Bev, they do a great job in the class of engaging, communicating. You know, name tags, yes, but they put pictures up of the people that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great reference as well.
Yeah.
You know, hospitality, when I look at hospitality, where I carry that over into prayer, and they do a great job of making sure that the class is engaged
yeah.
in prayer on a consistent basis. And they do a great job of communicating.
Yeah, can I jump onto that with something on the name tags again? Do y'all all do like handwritten name tags every week? Does everybody get a handwritten one, or do you have printed?
They got a printed one, handwritten.
Yeah, printed ones, and guests have written ones.
So if you're going to do printed ones, like as soon as those guests leave, go ahead and get them in your printer. You may drop them after a couple weeks, but just get them in there. A lot of our classes, I encourage them just to stick with the write your name. Why? I mean, it takes an extra step. It wastes some things, but everybody's on the same footing. And you don't want somebody coming back and feeling like, oh, man, they're not going to. I had a class that came in. Everybody had hard name tags. Like, they had gone down to the trophy shop or something and had everybody. Yeah, no joke. Like, they had spent a couple $100 having all these. Do you think that class was growing? No, because like they were the holy huddle, right? You know, and so I don't know how many weeks you had to attend before you got the lacquered name tag, but it's the small things in some of that, you know. So if you're going to do the print, and you may be doing that already, it's like, hey, be prepared for that person, and you know, sometimes like sneaky ways of doing that is just like in the week, say, hey, text someone and be like, hey, praying for you, glad you're here last week. I wanted to make sure I got a name tag printed out for you. Can you just confirm back to me this is how you spell your name? I mean, it doesn't work when their name's like Peter. That's kind of easy. But, you know, sometimes stuff like that. Just, hey, we're going to have a name tag waiting for you. We're glad that you're here. So just looping back around. Shared purpose, just to keep moving forward. Regularly cast the class's shared vision. That vision ought to align with your church, hopefully. You know, hopefully your vision and mission of the class doesn't divert. But, you know, your class has a DNA, right? There's the reason why y'all all kind of bound together, right? You're bound to brothers and sisters. You have a shared focus. You're doing life together. So keep that thing in front of everybody. We got a couple classes in our church that are just on fire for foster care in Northwest Florida. In fact, we won a grant from DeSantis for doing foster care. And so the state of Florida gave us some money to do more foster care because these two or three classes are just on fire for it. But they have a shared focus thing they're working on. And that's great. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as we come down into how we can kind of work outside the church. But I think I think every director ought to be thinking for their class, what is our vision for this thing? How do we take what Greg and Tim and everybody's talking about doing and take that piece of the pie off, right? Because we may not be able to do all of it, but we can do something to help push forward the vision of the church. Break down barriers. Include people from diverse backgrounds if possible. And that's not necessarily an ethnic thing. It could just be social thing. You know, make sure that as you're including people, that people of all phases of life feel welcome. If you come to First Baptist Pensacola, we have probably just like you guys, we have everything from homeless that will be, you know, we'll have a couple dozen homeless that will attend our church Sunday, all the way to the one percenters of Northwest Florida. And we're all there to worship Jesus together. They're all going into the same Bible study rooms, doing the same stuff. And so I just put this up here to just be a good reminder. Break down any barriers you can. And sometimes that just means even just stepping back a second and saying, have we put some up? Have any of y'all kind of experienced that? Where you have any kind of barriers? Or maybe you've walked into a room where you felt that here or somewhere else? That's great if you hadn't. But sometimes I think we don't necessarily think about what barriers we may be setting up. Some of that may be, you know, just even the hours that we're functioning. You know, right now we have an hour at 10:45 that's hard to get people to move to. And we're desperately needing median adult classes at 10:45. And so, you know, that's not a socioeconomic barrier per se. But it is a barrier to some people connecting in with our church. It's because it's not an appealing hour for that age group of people. You know, it's parents of preschoolers, that kind of age group. You know, they want to get into the 9:30 service and, you know, have their Bible study. A lot of them go to the 8:15 Bible study hour. And so they're done. They're going to the golf or the lake or golf course or whatever by 11, you know, able to kick their day down the road. But there's a segment that wants to come later. All right, let's keep moving. Participation. Give everyone a role to deepen their sense of belonging as you can. In the last session, we talked about just multiplying your leadership stuff. You know, there's always opportunities in the room to give somebody else something that you're doing in some ways. You know, think about that and look for it, identify it. And some of that's even just talking about multiplication. And so, you know, if you got multiplications DNA in your group, which all groups should have, you know, you should be identifying some people that can do what you do, or they can do what the teacher does or other people do. Problem is, you're already doing it, which is fine. But that's also an opportunity to multiply out a group with somebody that God's given the same potential and the same skill set. You know, the worst thing that can happen, and it's sad when we see it in church life, is you have somebody that has that same kind of skill set, and you may give them some stuff to do, but ultimately, because you're not moving out of your director position, they have nowhere else to go. They're kind of stuck in the middle of this thing. And so that creates tension and also creates in them, well, if I'm going to pursue doing something that I feel like God has equipped me to do, I may have to find another church to do it in, or I may have to find some other group to go to. Whereas you've lost the opportunity, or we've lost the opportunity in our group to launch that person out and say, hey, okay, you got a strong skill set to be a director. We've got this person over here that can teach. We're running 40, 50, 60 people in this room. Let's pull together four or five couples and pair some people up and let's start replicating. Let's send them out well. Let's love on them well. Let's give them the tools they need to go and start another group. But, you know, let's not hold people back just because I'm in my position, right? And so I hope y'all are embracing multiplication in your groups. Anything y'all want to say on that or add to it? Multiplication is always sticky. That's a sticky word. Yeah.
Maybe it's just hospitality. One thing that we like to do is that we have kind of a buddy system. So our greeters will attach a designated buddy to any visitors who will nice. Kind of show them around. And then when we recognize them at the beginning of class, we have the buddy introduce them, because sometimes people are a little bit shy.
That's right.
You don't know where they stand. Sometimes the visitor will, the guest will, you know, add something to it or something like that. But that way, we're not putting them on the spot,
mm-hmm.
And we've got somebody there that has taken an interest in learning their name, learning something about them, and then being prepared to introduce them to the class.
That's right, because you know, putting them on the spot, that's a barrier, right?
Yeah.
Barrier to them assimilating, coming back. You know, just like there's some people you just can't call them to pray in public. I mean, there's some people. I mean, they can do great things in our place of life. You ask them to pray in front of people, and all of a sudden it's like the end of society if I do this. And so, you know, but if you go to them and say, hey, if I called on you today, would you be willing to pray? You know, it breaks down some things, because once somebody, we all know it. Y'all remember the first time y'all prayed in public? I don't remember the first time I did, but you know what? I don't have a problem doing it now. I used to hate public speaking and getting in front of people and dialoguing and that sort of thing. But I do, and I don't remember the path, but I do know there was a point where I absolutely hated it. But without opportunities, those are barriers. I like the buddy system. Anybody else doing the buddy system in their areas?
I know in Revolution Within, you know, Stan does a great job of Stan and Bever together. That's his wife, Bev. They do a great job of giving out things once they announce a guest that's in there.
Yeah.
To give out, Stan does honey, and he has honey there for him, and he'll give out a couple little treats here and there, and he's very passionate about what he does, and it really comes out when he speaks in the class and does all that.
So what are some things in like the student ministry and young adults y'all do to kind of help people feel welcome when they come in?
Yeah, I think from us, like the, just trying to talk, see where they're at, and then just kind of in the back of my mind, I'm playing like who else in the class does. And so kind of the easiest way I find to ease in is find out, hey, talk with them, like ask them a few pointed questions, and then I'm like, okay, what do they do? Oh, they're an engineer, let me connect them to this person. And then just like, because then you just get that instant connection of, oh, there's someone like me. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the game I always play the first time I see a guest. Hey, like, what do you spend your time doing? Or like, a lot of us are maybe just graduated college and are like, we're might be from anywhere out of town. Like, oh, where are you from? And then what do you do for your time? And then that usually has me enough to connect them with one other person. And they think, oh, there are people like me here.
That's right. You know, one of the ways we do that is highs and lows. Do you all do highs and lows in your classes ever? You know what that is? So basically, if we were a class, we would circle up and talk about something that we're super excited about this week, something that didn't go so well this week. And, you know, you get a chance to pass, but you can't pass twice. So anyways, and what we found in doing that was, especially with median and young adults, is what you just said. People came back every week because they wanted to give their highs and lows, especially in new classes, because they learned that when they were sharing those things, other people in the class had similar lows, you know, age stage stuff, like kids are just not going nuts, or, you know, I don't know what I'm doing with my major, or, you know, whatever age stage things going on, highs and lows, you're sharing that thing. I mean, everybody loves to hear when something's good from, most people do, that aren't narcissistic. They love to hear other people succeeding, but the normal person. But the lows, most of us can resonate with most of those lows. And so prayer life started deepening, because now you know what people are struggling with. And so the more that goes on, it goes from, well, my low of this week was, you know, Wednesday was a bad day at work, or fish weren't biting on Friday, or whatever, to you start getting to some more substance as the weeks go on. And then as you're adding new people to the group, you know, you don't let them go first. They kind of go towards the end, or they can pass. But most of them will start jumping in because they see how excited everybody else is about sharing. They also see how everybody else reacts. Now, a lot of y'all have very established groups, I would imagine. Y'all been meeting in your groups for a while, which means you probably don't need the highs and lows. But if you're multiplying out in what they're talking about, those are great opportunities and ways to, as you're getting newer people together, to include them in, but also quickly understand what everybody kind of is doing and what they're also struggling with. So participation, you know, getting everybody to kind of do something is kind of key. But it's kind of hard. All right.
To me, everyone has been given a gift by God, but I don't always recognize that.
Mm.
We've got a lady, she's a former director in our class, and she's really, really good at identifying with people and seeing this is her gift and this is how they can serve in our class.
Yeah.
And so she'll just ask them.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to organize this? Do you want to serve? Can you be...
You are blessed to have that lady.
So it goes a long way, because for me, that's a blind side.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and if you like doing things with excellence too, it's hard to delegate something out because you know the product that comes back is not going to be, or it may be more stressed, but that's also the part of leadership that's hard is being willing to mentor and hand some of that stuff off. And you're a very blessed man to have somebody that sees the potential in the people around them. You know, that's definitely some Holy Spirit leading in her life to see that.
And I think you need to let people who are trying it out, to let them not do it well.
Yeah,
I remember
that's right.
Briscoe, he said, anything we're doing is we're doing badly, because the first time you ever hit a tennis ball, you didn't put it over the net.
Yeah.
Practice helps.
Anybody play golf? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's always that last shot on the 8th or 17th hole, right? And it's like, wow, I hit that 7 iron really good. Or that one drive shot, and you're like, yeah. But the other 80 shots.
Once every 18 holes.
Exactly. The other 80 shots you took that day. But you know what?
That one keeps you coming back.
Yeah.
Out of
yeah. But the reality is I probably should have got on the driving range. But, you know, but everybody needs time on the driving range, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to just recognize, well, we shanked that. But that goes back to you're empowering people to do something, but you got to come beside them and evaluate the process too. But that's also a relationship that you have with them when you could do both, where you've empowered and now you can evaluate. Because in the church, you know, it's not that you can go somebody the salary that's in your Sunday school department and evaluate them. So there's got to be enough relationship built there for them to take what you're going to give them. But that's good. Participation, getting people to participate. Celebration. I think this is one of the things that's really hard for us as leaders in the church. And really, even in American culture, we don't celebrate our wins enough. And I don't feel like we do that in the church enough. And in your departments, feel free to celebrate the wins in your department. You know, how many of y'all kind of pull away from the rest of the class with your leadership team, your teachers, and the downline that y'all have once a year or sometime? Do y'all pull away at any point? Y'all pull away? Y'all pull away once a month? Take those times that you're pulling away, and if you're not pulling away, figure out a way to do it. Pull away with just the leadership team in your department and celebrate. Celebrate what people have done. I mean, the fact you got somebody teaching 52 weeks a year. Let's celebrate that. Celebrate the small things. Celebrate the big things. Let's celebrate how many guests we had. How many did we retain? Let's celebrate, hey, we had the Johnsons go into the hospital last weekend and 6 families showed up and we got the meal train going. Celebrate that. It's what people ought to be doing, but celebrate the fact that we actually did what we said we were going to do. And I'm telling you, when you celebrate the people that are under you with that, it's just like with work. I mean, how much would you love being at your job and your boss tells you, well, I'm going to celebrate you by your paycheck? Well, that's nice. But my paycheck is the minimum of which we have came together on the conclusion of me being here in employment, right? And, you know, the other day, like I always keep a stack of gift cards in my office. And the other day during a snowstorm, I had a facilities guy, and he came to me and said, hey, man, I hope this was okay, but we saw it coming down bad. So me and my wife, they're in their 60s. They said, we just came to the church and stayed overnight. I was like, number one, you should probably tell somebody. But, and he started telling me what he did. He's like, man, me and my wife, we just spent all night unfreezing pipes and stuff. We went down to our benevolence building, you know, stuff was starting to freeze. We went up to the missions building. So he's just telling me about what they were doing and everything. And I'm like, this is an hourly employee that's underneath our director of facilities, okay? I'm like, dude, this is amazing. He's not asking for anything. He's just excitedly telling me how much he loves working at First Baptist Church Pensacola. So what do you think I did? I ran to my office as quick as I could and grabbed as many of those gift cards as I could and went back down there and said, this is not near enough to help you out with what you did. Yeah. And I went to his boss and said, hey, I want you to figure out what restaurant his wife loves, and I want you to get them the biggest gift card you can out of your budget to go take them out on date night. Not him take them out, but, you know, send them out on date night. That'd be awkward. So we got to reward these people. We got to celebrate them. So what do we do in all staff? Thursday was our all staff meeting. So we had all of our employees in there. Got to celebrate, man. Just celebrate. We also celebrated a preschool teacher that walked a family that she found lost in the senior adult wing. I don't know what she's doing over there. I didn't ask a lot of questions, but she did the right thing, and we celebrated, okay? Okay, you know what that's created? And I'm going to run out of time on this. You know what it's created is? In our all-staff meeting, I give our people opportunity to celebrate each other. So it's not just me as the XP standing up saying, I've noticed you guys doing your jobs. Now it's assistants and different people saying, hey, when the high school minister or whoever helped me with this, it was really a huge deal, and I just want to tell them thank you. That creates a different environment in your leadership structure. It also creates a part to what they want to belong to, right? Because it's hard to do this 52 weeks a year. Just like Sunday service keeps coming, life Bible study doesn't stop just because you go on vacation. Life Bible study doesn't stop. The church keeps going. So out of these, identify one way that you can make your class more inclusive this week. Just think through that. That's a small step. I mean, that may be just coming in and just saying, hey, I threw this out one time at our church, and a gentleman named Nix came back and said, well, I'm just going to rearrange the chairs. I said, okay, Nix, if that's what you feel like you need to do to be more inclusive. And I had no idea what he meant. I'd been there like 2 months. And I walk in his class next week. They had never moved their chairs in 20 years in this class. I think Nix's dad probably taught the class for him. But anyways, I come in the room, and the whole room's flipped back around the other way. And you would have thought, like, but you know what it did? It shook up everybody. He knows what happened. People start sitting in different places. And so people that were stagnant for a long time just got a new vision for a same old room. I know that's silly and small, but really small things matter. Small things can shake up your class, your organization. So think this week, what are some small things? I want to add to that too. Find somebody you can celebrate. Celebrate a win. Get together. And if you don't have a win, maybe through the rest of this, we can figure out a way to get you there. So it's 9:40. We got about 10, 15 minutes left before we got to transition. And I want you guys to kind of have some opportunity to talk. So let's move from cultivating connections together to cultivating connections within the church. So that section was really trying to talk for you to think about within your class. Now I want you to think about building relationships in the church as well, church wide. And honestly, as y'all are leaving, are y'all two or three services on campus here? You're three? So there's three opportunities for y'all to be on mission to grow your group. So which hour? Y'all got three Bible study hours? Three?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, four.
4 hours? Okay.
Four,
so you show up at like dark 30 and go to...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so, is that yours?
No.
Okay. You smiled, so I didn't know. Those are all opportunities for you to grow your class. I mean, you got a huge mission field just sitting here because... there's the thing sits 3,400. That's, over 9,000, 10,000 people could potentially be on this campus over the course of those three services. I don't think that's necessarily the number that's every week in Life Bible. So there's a variation or margin of people that are coming to worship that aren't going to a class anywhere that could be connected in for a community. There's also people that you know that aren't going to find community anywhere. You know, when they go into the hospital or they have something that's happening in their life, they're just going to assume their church didn't come alongside them unless somebody just randomly finds it. So an opportunity to do this, to build relationships church-wide, serve together, encourage participation in church ministries. And when you do that, and I'm sure you already have, you lose, adult Bible says always lose people to the next gen people, because you send people down there to teach and lead and be a part. The best thing you can do as leaders is what? Don't orphan those people, but keep them on the chain. keep inviting them to the things they were already a part of. Let them know that they are missionaries from your class. We want to celebrate these people that took time to go serve down in young adults and student ministries, sharing the legacy of wealth of knowledge and maturity that they have with the next generation. Going down to plug holes in preschool. Bless them, you know. Send them gift cards. Yes, sir.
I promise not to tell Don Mutton. We have in our class a leader, a key leader, and her responsibility or title is Connection Captain.
Okay.
But she's a natural networker.
Yeah.
And she knows what's going on around the church, and she's making sure that our class knows things to plug into.
That's great.
And helps to organize that.
That's great.
That's her role.
Yeah. That's great. And Joe, I think that's something that everybody needs somebody. I mean, Don was, is it Don or Dan?
Don.
Don was sharing that, you know, his...
Steven, that's Don.
Who said Steven? Somebody. Yeah. Well, no, you said, what? Who were you calling out over here?
Stan.
Who's Stan?
Stan's best.
Stan's her husband.
He's not here.
Oh, I was like, who is Stan? I'm looking over here for Stan on a name tag. I'm thinking, brother, we got something special for you later tonight.
I guarantee you, she's in some of these classes and Stan's in some of the other classes, they're capturing things together. Exactly, you got me.
I was just, I thought you may have gotten to the Methodist drink a little too much. I don't know, but that's great. And you've got, you know, Don, you've got that person that you said identifies things like that too. You know, that same trait connects people in. So serve together. Encourage participation outside your class. Fellowship across groups. Organize joint events with other classes. Be competitive. We have people that do like different things. Like we had a bunch of median adult classes that challenge some of their other adult classes to a kickball and softball competition in Pensacola. They went down to the local park and did a kickball thing. They had a softball thing going on. So depending on your athletic ability, you could join the team, and it got really heated, and it was a lot of fun. Support other classes. Look for ways to help groups in need. You know, if you see some groups around you that are struggling, they're willing to help, help them. If you've got some groups you're multiplying out, support them. Support the other classes around you. Why? Because you're supporting the church. And that doesn't mean that our class is unhealthy. You may have two healthy classes, but there may be one class that, and I've seen this at our church. You know, there you talk about life stages. You know, some class may get into a point where they have a lot of just heavy things hitting them. You know, it could be deaths, it could be divorce, it could be just some real life stuff. And we've had to take other classes in that same kind of sphere and say, hey, can y'all go love on that other class? Because their leaders are hurting. Their people are hurting. They're wearing the meal train out, you know, because as Baptists, we want to feed everybody to death, right? And so sometimes it's just getting other, and it seems like y'all have some good camaraderie amongst your directors. Probably some better than others. But get together and work together on some of this. Support others around you. Connect members to activities.
She's got a lot of camaraderie with Stan.
Yeah, she does.
That's awesome. I'm not going to make a joke. I don't want to get too. So connect members to activities. Promote church-wide events and activities. And tell stories. You know, We call our life Bible study just Bible study on Sundays, but we encourage all of our Bible study classes to have something within the larger church, both ministry and mission, that they say for the year 2025, we're going to engage in. This is going to be us. You know, we have a couple classes right now going head over heels for foster care. They're really deep into that. We've got some others that are into our church food ministry. You know, the Weiss initiatives, there's some other things. And so, you know, find something that your people can connect in with, both church-wide events and activities and beyond. You know, what was the D now called?
Lift Weekend.
Lift Weekend needs a ton of volunteers, I would imagine. And yeah, like you probably need parking lot volunteers, greeters, people all over the place. I mean, host home leaders, host homes. I don't know what y'all do. But, you know, the events that the church does just takes a lot of leaders. One of the sweet things I saw 2 years ago when we did ours, you know, we had our, I would say, the, well, it's the senior adults. It was two of our senior adult classes. They really jumped in with our student ministry because we went in with two of the other megas in our area and did a mega D-Now. And so we just had this huge, just thousands of students that just all kind of came together, which is a lot for Pensacola, okay? And so we all came together and just did this mega D-Now at our campus. And these senior adults are just out there serving, median adults, because it just took everybody. And you know what? It built connection across classes. It built connection between people in the church. And it also helped the class to have an identity of serving together, to have something more to talk about than what they were going to do on Friday and Saturday or whatnot. You know, it gave them something more. You know, when you're serving somebody else, y'all know what it's like to serve on missions and ministry. It gets you outside yourself. And when you do it as a class, you get to share that battle together, right? You get to share that story together. So connect members with activities. And like I said, it's the same thing with celebrating. As you come back into the class, talk about it. Share stories. If you've got, we got one of our classes they love to do every week. They have a couple, or they'll have a single get up and just share what they do in the church, you know? And so somebody will get up and say, oh, I'm on the welcome team. I serve on the golf cart, and this is what I do. Really enjoy it. I get these, and they'll talk about the conversations. I get to have all these interesting conversations with all these kind of people, but everybody's got the thing they do. And if you got 30 or 40, 50 people in your class, you get to learn a lot about your church when everybody kind of shares what they do outside. And then there's a lot of people that aren't serving that are hearing, well, I could do that. That sounds like a lot of fun. Celebrate church wins. You know, when Pastor Greg or Tim or some of your other staff are sharing about what's happening in church, or if you're a deacon or lay leader and you kind of know what's happening, or you hear something shared, don't just assume that everybody knows that win happened because they went to the same service. Look, I've been doing ministry now for almost 25 years, and I feel like every time I do announcements or something from the platform, I might as well just be talking to myself and my wife, like who is listening? Because it's just so programmatic when people go through those phases of the service. And you get in a small group environment like this, and you're that trusted person, or maybe you got somebody that's delegated to in your class, that is a huge opportunity for you guys to celebrate the win. Why? Because you're the church. You're a part of the win. Whether your church, your class participated or not, you are a part of the win because the church won. So celebrate those milestones. So I would just encourage you guys to do this in your divisions and departments. You know, find a church ministry or event to involve your class in this upcoming month. What's something you guys can dive into and help out with? And if you don't know where to start, bug Tim, you know, and just say, Tim, we're somewhere. Tim's the only staff member I know, by the way, so that's why I keep saying his name. Bug Tim, or bug, I know y'all have ministers over your areas and different things like that. Bug whoever is your staff liaison for your area and just say, hey, we don't want to just sit around. We want to be a class that's known for something, and we want to pick up. I'm telling you, you want to get some good conversations going. Go serve together as a class. But also go do your fun events, too. Everybody loves the fun events. Serving's good, too. All right, let's jump into the last one here because we're way out of time. And this is probably I buried the lead. I thought I had more time in these sessions. Opportunities for meaningful outreach. So leading into this, organize a service project that meets some local needs. Don't just be a closed group that just serves yourselves. I mean, if you're, you know, there's a sweet story I heard from a friend in Tennessee who talks about how in their church, their class heard about a ministry in their town where these ladies who, you know, they were the single moms. They're going through this class to kind of get job, get work, get back on their feet from either divorce or abuse, whatnot. And they found that as these ladies were exiting the program, most of them were able to find housing, but the biggest need that they had was a car, mm-hmm. just transportation. And it was just like this almost insurmountable thing. Because, you know, once you buy a car, you got to do tag, title, fees. You just, you know, the nickel, dime, you death, right? So what the class decided to do is, hey, I'm not buying like a Lexus for everybody, but we've got some guys in the class that got skills, and so we'll put $5,000-$6,000 out. We'll buy an automobile. We'll get it running well, and we'll go down there. And they do this. They do it a couple times a year, and they make the commitment to the lady: as long as you have the car for 6-8 months, we'll help you change the oil. If we'll make sure the tires are good, that sort of thing. Is it going to be something that just keeps them forever on that car? No, but it just really just trying to get over the hump. That's a group of about 40 or 50 people that said, hey, we can come up with about $10,000 or $20,000 annually to try to do this. I don't know what your group looks like. You don't have to put that much money out. I promise you, there's something here in the metro that you can do for free or with a little bit of money that's going to make a huge difference in people's lives. I mentioned Church to Church. We put a bunch of classes into it because what we do is we have 40 regional partners in our metro that we give food to. And so we empower them in their local little areas to go give out food. And we have seen so many baptisms and so many churches that run 10, 20, 30 people go and double, triple in size because they'll go walk around their neighborhood to families they've identified that are starving, that are living in poverty, and take them these boxes of food. But they're also taking them in the gospel, and they're sharing the gospel with them. They're bringing them back in. So we've given them the tool, which is, sharing their faith, and we've empowered them with that. And we've given them the art tool that gets them in the door, which is that box of food. And so that's given them in their little areas of the metro the opportunity. But that doesn't happen if the church doesn't come together. So find a place like that. Community events. You can partner locally, collaborate with schools, business, nonprofits. Talk to your missions department, honestly. Go talk to your missions department. I'm sure there's some schools that do backpack buddy sort of things where, kind of backpacks send food, or maybe find some direct needs that you can. If you got some school partnerships where you can go down and work alongside some of these schools that need help. Be present. If your group does decide to do or take on one of these things, be consistent and be present with do what you say you're going to do. So if you're going to tell a principal or somebody in the community that you're going to help them with something, do what you say you're going to do. I think Jesus may share something. And don't forget to share Christ. Engage in authentic relationships and conversations. That's the whole point of feeding somebody. Somebody's starving, they food insecure, or they don't have clothes for a job interview. We have one class, our church does that. It's a bunch of doctors and lawyers in that class, and they do free job placement stuff. They come down there, they show them how to put together a simple resume, and then they sit across the table from them and kind of show them how do you interview, how do you go get a job, and how do you present yourself well. And then they get them to the job interviews. That doesn't cost them anything but time. Time's precious. But you know what's also precious? The opportunity to share the gospel through those things too. We're way out of time, and I'm sorry. But if you were walking away with anything tonight, just a couple points to just pin back around to. Create spaces in your groups that you can come in and you can have authentic, holistic community together to where everybody feels welcomed. And just assess that. Celebrate the win of what you're doing in those spaces. Don't just take for granted that everybody sees the win. Talk about it. Celebrate the win of the church. The unity of the church. And I feel like Houston's First Baptist is a pretty unified church. It seems like there's a sweet spirit of unity from the people I've been around since we've been here. Protect that. One of the ways you can is by celebrating what God's doing, because you're recognizing Him and not ourselves. Be intentional about seeing the church as a whole. Part of that's multiplication. Hey, we need classes at different hours and different spaces. We need to start prepping our people to grow so that we can have more opportunities for more people to come into our church. But that takes preparation. But a lot of that other stuff helps. And then finally, be missional in your environments. Be missional in your environments. Don't just assume because there's a missions department that all this other stuff will get done. And I'm telling you, just like if your family goes on a mission trip together, you go overseas and serve, or you go to another state to help a church plant or whatever, going and serving as a small group, whether that be with students or adults, it's impactful. because it creates stories in which you can share and have a common bond around. So 9:56, we've got a couple minutes before we go down and get carved out before we go home. So any questions before we kind of leave? You can scan this thing behind me and tell them how bad I did. Either way, I'm going back to Pensacola, so it's good for me. Well, thank you, buddy.
How do you know Tim?
How do I know Tim?
Yeah.
So I met Tim a couple years ago in a, there's a group of Christian educators called Metro, and I met him at Christian Metro for Christian educators, and you know, just kind of kept in touch with him over the years. Yeah. Yes, sir.
We have an incredible ministry called Legacy 68.5. Are you familiar with that at all?
I'm not.
Okay, it has to do with foster care and things like that.
Awesome.
They have a lot of resources, and I think connecting with them might be, you know, some mutually beneficial.
Legacy
68.5.
68.5.
Yeah. If you were to call, Tim can put you in touch with
them. Okay. Yeah.
Legacy 68.5. It's the, you know, you figure it out.
Anybody else?
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
How can we pray for you?
So I'm entering the project stage of my doctorate, and so I'm delineating down and starting that project phase. So start praying for that. I would say also just be praying. I'm about to have surgery on this Achilles. That's why I'm kind of dancing up here. So I got a large bone spur that's detached into the Achilles. Oh. And so it's all genetics, they say, which yeah. I guess I'm genetically great at that. So pray for that. That's in March. And then my wife's got a surgery coming up in February. So we're hitting that stage of life where doctors, like the visits, like I don't remember doing these visits before. Like, you know, now they're becoming pretty normal. I don't like it. Anyways, thank you for asking. That's how y'all can pray for us. And I'd love to be praying for you guys as well. I think I may just take a picture of the roll from tonight and be praying for y'all as directors. Y'all are very blessed by this church. Very blessed here. The worst thing you can do with the blessing is hiding it. And so keep sharing that blessing. Absolutely. Let's pray.
Father God, I want to thank you for Peter, and I thank you for his willingness to come here and share from his great experience. Father, he's got some health, and his wife has some health issues and upcoming surgeries. Father, we just ask for complete healing from those. And as he works on his doctorate, what a wonderful, assignment that is to work all the way through a doctorate, and now to have this big project, his dissertation. And Father, I just ask that you would give him clarity of mind, direct his thinking and paths as he finalizes this. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank y'all for coming.
Thank you very much.